When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Those are the words of Wendell Berry, poet and farmer in eastern Kentucky. And so a question: when despair for the world grows in you, where do you go? For Berry, it was a pond. It is a pond where wood drakes rest, where herons feed. But what about you? When life seems too much, where do you turn? I understand what Wendell Berry was saying in that remarkable poem. There is a part of me that craves silence and nature and woods and water. And I've also learned something about myself over the past several years, I guess, that when despair grows in me, when I need hope, I also turn to people. When the world feels that it is too much for me alone, I realize again that I need other people. I've mentioned in the past that I have had a difficult bout or two with depression and anxiety. And one of the things about depression and anxiety is that that is a time in life when we most need others around us, and a time in life when we most feel all alone. And those feelings feed on themselves. The more we are alone, the more alone we feel, and the louder our anxious self becomes. And so during those moments in particular for me, I have found myself needing to be among people, not necessarily talking to people, by the way, and not doing anything with people, but to sit and watch people, to walk down a sidewalk and see the hustle and bustle of life, to see people laughing and talking or worrying or texting vigorously, or to sit in a coffee shop and eavesdrop on other people's conversations, and to see people smiling or fussing or crying. As disappointing as people can be, and you know what I mean by that, right? As disappointing as people can be, I find that I need people, that we need people. A few years ago, I was with a group in Jerusalem. Those of you who have been to that part of the world, those of you who have been to Jerusalem, know that there are two competing places. I started to say two competing tourist traps, but that doesn't sound sacred, does it? There are two competing places which are supposedly the tomb where Jesus was buried. There are two places where tradition tells us Jesus was buried, and you can visit them both. One, the garden tomb, is not exactly a garden anymore. There are lines of tourists, and it's more or less in the middle of the city. But it is a bit more remote, a bit quieter, a bit more pastoral, in part because the people who control that have done a better job with crowd control. They keep you in your bus until it's your time to go see one of the possible tombs where Jesus was buried. The older traditional spot, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, has been built over, those of you who've been there know, with churches and chapels all around, controlled by these various groups with their various languages and various liturgies, right in the middle of the old city of Jerusalem. And it is bustling with people who are singing and chanting and praying. And when I was in Jerusalem, the other people in my group said that they could not tolerate all the noise at the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre. They could not tolerate all of the confusion and the people. They preferred the garden tomb that was a bit quieter. And I was the only person in my group who found the Church of the Holy Sepulchre to be so invigorating. That giant swirl of sweaty, loud humanity, elbowing each other to touch the place where Jesus' body was. I mean, really elbowing people to touch the place where Jesus' body was. What I found in that confusion were the hopes and fears and failures and triumphs of humanity from all around the globe focused on that one traditional spot. And so when despair for the world grows in me, the faces of other people striving to live with passion and purpose, that's where I find hope. And that's why I go to church. I go to church because it's a place to be with people seeking hope. I go to church to be surrounded by you all, by people trying to live with grace and faith. I had lunch with a friend of mine a few weeks ago, a clergy person, who said that he has served 5 churches. And he said, if I were not paid, I wouldn't go to any of them. And I thought about that for a moment, and I thought, I would. I would come to Westmoreland. I would go to any of the 3 churches that I have served because I find hope here. I find hope. Let me tell you a story of hope. December the 1st, for the past 30 or so years, has been designated as World AIDS Day. It's been a fascinating journey over the past 30 or 40 years to watch AIDS play out as this public health pandemic, the way that it has changed and morphed and worked its way around the world, this strange disease that burst onto the scene in the 1980s, really, as it largely at that time devastated the community of gay men in this country. Those numbers have receded a bit, but AIDS is still the world's foremost health pandemic. Something to the tune of 36 million people live right now in the world with AIDS. Most of them, or a huge number of them, in sub-Saharan Africa. 36 million people living with AIDS. The story of hope has to do with one of the participants in this year's Volunteer Corps, the Westmoreland Volunteer Corps. I know that some of you have been especially attentive to this year's group of volunteers. Audrey, one of our volunteers, Audrey Sumi, a remarkable young woman. Audrey is originally from Cameroon. Her family migrated to the United States when she was about 15. She graduated from one of the DC high schools and then graduated from Trinity Washington University. Audrey has written publicly and has said publicly about the experience of seeing family members in Cameroon, her close family members, living with and dying from AIDS. That is her family story. And so she studied biology. And she went to Ghana and volunteered with the West Africa AIDS Foundation, and she is going to be a doctor. And right now she is working in one of our medical placements as a Westmoreland volunteer because she wants to combat AIDS in the world. And that gives me hope. Her life gives me hope. Her hope gives me hope. And Westmoreland gives me hope because we are helping her in very small ways. We are helping her and helping the world write a chapter in the story of hope for the world. We are helping to write a chapter in the story of confronting AIDS in the world. The scripture passage that Sarah led us in reading a moment ago. In that strange, quirky passage, Jesus tells the story of a fig tree, which is really not the story of a fig tree at all. It's a story about hope. Jesus placed this story of hope in a setting of great confusion. He said that there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars. There will be distress on the earth. Nations will be confused and people will be afraid. And the story is that he said that 2,000 years ago, that people will be confused and afraid. That's very familiar language. As we look at the world, the climate change and our border patrol agents using tear gas on people at the border, and ongoing wars, and layoffs at General Motors, and hateful words being tweeted out into cyberspace, and 36 million people living with AIDS. That confusion and fear and worry that Jesus described is very present if we do what he said and pay attention. But in the middle of that kind of world, Jesus said, look at the fig tree. Look at all the trees. As soon as they sprout, you can see that summer is coming. That's a poetic line about hope, a simple bud, a simple sprout of new life, the promise of growth. When you see that, you know that the realm of God is near. The realm of God is around us. So be on guard, Jesus says. Be alert. Pay attention to the fig trees. Pay attention to the signs of hope in the world. Pay attention to the Audreys and the Volunteer Corps participants. Pay attention to the coming of Jesus. When I was a kid, okay, let me be clear, not just when I was a kid, even as an adult, but it started when I was a kid, and I heard the story about Jesus, I really didn't understand it. One of the great questions was why on earth Jesus had to come and die for us? If God were all that smart, I thought at about age 7 and still think at an age past 7. God were all that smart, why did God send God's son? If someone had to die, live and die, why Jesus? Why didn't God send a frog? Or a fig tree? Or a dandelion? Or a wood drake? Right? I'm not sure that I have an answer to all of that, but I have some ideas. Maybe it's because we humans are so self-centered, so species-focused, that we might not notice if hope showed up in the form of a frog, or a fig tree, or a dandelion, or a wood drake. We might just not pay attention. Or who knows? Maybe frogs and fig trees and dandelions and wood drakes, maybe they have their own harbingers of hope. Maybe they have their own stories of reconciliation and resurrection that we are just not smart enough to hear. Maybe we humans need this very human Jesus because we need to see hope in humanity. Maybe we need this very human Jesus because we need to see hope in ourselves. Kaylee and I are preaching an Advent sermon series about social issues, World AIDS Day, reproductive rights, gun violence, income inequality. Very real, very present, very human concerns. So that we can do our best to see hope and peace and joy and love sprouting and budding and growing in the midst of us. In the midst of us. So when despair for the world grows in you, when you wake in the night at the least sound, where do you go? Where do you turn? For me, I go to church, where we focus on hope. I turn to people, where I see the promise of life. I remember again the confusing, remarkable story of Jesus coming into the world. And I give thanks that God's realm is near, and that realm includes me and you and all creation. And for that, I say thanks be to God. Amen.